Bless God for all of you on this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for keeping us through last night, God, keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger. God, allowing us to come on this morning to hear what it is that the Holy Ghost has to say to us. We are so grateful, God, for your word. God, your word is life unto us. It is a lamp into our feet and a light unto our path. So we ask on today, God, that your word might illuminate for us our lives to us, God. Father, let it serve as a mirror to us, God, to see how it is that we measure up, to see how it is that we should change, to see how it is, God, that you desire for us to live. Now, God, we bless you and we give your name glory, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Again, I thank God for each and every one of you that counted it not robbery nor a sacrifice for you to get up and to be with us on this morning. On this morning, our travels take us to a couple of scriptures. It takes us first to what's known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and just a portion of 1 Corinthians 13 is what I'd like to read. I'd like to read verses 4 through the first portion of 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through the first portion of verse 8. And from the New American Standard Version, it reads as follows. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And if you will just deal with me for just a few more moments, I'd like to take this and punt back to or punt forward to 1 John 3:16. We are familiar with John, the Gospel of John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 says this: we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If we need to understand 1 John 3:16 a little clearer, the message reads it as this. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. And the word of the Lord is blessed. A simple message, a simple thought for this morning. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? Back in the 70s, there was a group by the name of the Bee Gees. And I used to love the Bee Gees, and I loved their music. And they came out with a song by the name of How Deep Is Your Love. And there was a particular lyric in that song that I really loved. And it said, I believe in you. You know the door to my very soul. You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And as a teenager, you know, I thought those were the deepest words. I thought it was the most wonderful lyrics when it came to describing one's love for another. But as I got older and I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about the words that were penned by the Bee Gees, I realized and I understood, you all, that there is no man that can serve for a savior when I fall. As much as I would love for my closest friends to be with me, they have a hard time illuminating life for me in my deepest and darkest hour. And as much as I would love for someone to know the ins and outs, the ups, the downs, be there for me no matter what, there is not one, not even my husband, not even my children, not even my closest friends that have the door to my very soul. But when I start to understand the love of Jesus for me, when I started to understand that he sacrificed for me, even when I knew his word and did not espouse myself to his word, that his love for me was so deep that he was willing to give up his life for me, that is what I started to measure my love by. And that's when I started to measure others' love for me. Don't get me wrong. I do know that folks love me. I know that they love me sometimes more than they even love themselves. I get all of that, you all, but we have to come to a realization that no one can love us the way that Jesus loves us, to the point where he went to Calvary's cross to die for us. He took on sin, became sin, so that we might have life. He took on being lied on. He took on being talked about. He took on being conspired against in order for us to have a right to the tree of life. But not just that, you all, because oftentimes we stop there. But we have to understand that because he mirrored this type of love for us, that we ought to live sacrificially for our brother, for our sister. Okay, somebody stop listening to me right there. You've got to be kidding me, Pastor. I'm supposed to go out and be like Jesus? Well, we just understood from the lyrics of the Bee Gees that I said, you can't be somebody's savior. You might not be able to be the light in their deepest, darkest hour. You might not be able to know the door to their very soul. But what you can do is love them to a place for them to ask you why you're loving them in such a manner. And then you're able to point them to the one who loved you first. Ah, come on, somebody. And then they will understand the love that you have for them. Please know this, you all, that we are placed here on earth to be God's change agents. We are placed here on earth to be his hands and feet on the street. How is it, you all, that we can say, the scripture says, how can we say that we love God whom we've never seen and hate our brother or our sister who we see every day? We will walk past somebody and will not speak to them, will not give them a nod, will not give them an acknowledgement. And you all, that might be the very thing that keeps them from death's door, the very thing that might keep them from trying to take their own lives, the very thing that might show them that there's still a glimmer of hope in mankind and humanity. But you all, we won't even give a notion. We won't even give a nod. We won't even give an acknowledgement. We won't give a good morning, how you doing, to somebody. Because we're inward seeking, because we're concerned about what's going on with us. We're so focused inwardly that we can't focus outwardly when God allows us to have divine appointments. And when I say divine appointments, you all have heard me say it before. When I say divine appointments, I'm not talking about you're going to end up being there, giving somebody the gospel, giving somebody an opportunity to you know, offer them Christ. Perhaps you are. Perhaps God will give you that opportunity. But when I say a divine appointment, it may just simply be for you to give somebody a smile. It may simply be for you to just say, good morning, how are you? It might simply be for you to show somebody that they matter. That's what a divine appointment is. God allows us to have divine appointments in order for us to show others him. That's what a divine appointment is. It's one that you can't place on your calendar. It's one that you can't sit and say that you have an opportunity to reschedule. You have an opportunity to reset. You have an opportunity to skew the time frame to hit it an hour before or an hour after. You may just have that brief moment in time to show somebody God's love. But my question to you on this morning is, how deep is your love? How deep is your love for Christ that you would show his love to somebody else? How deep is your love for your fellow brother, your fellow sister, that you would take the moment out to show them God's love through you? How deep is your love? How deep is your love that you will be able or be willing to go down the list that is offered to us in 1 Corinthians 13? How willing are you to look at the scripture when it says that love is patient and it's kind and it's not jealous? It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. I think you all, if we were to take verses 4 through 7, verses 4 through 7, because the beginning of 8 says love never fails, but verses 4 through 7 gives us a wonderful checklist as to what we should measure our love against. And if we use that as our checklist daily, daily when we're dealing with people, I believe you all, we will be able to always be in a position to show God's love. Doesn't matter how they treat you. Because the reality of it is, if we treated everybody the way they treated us, we probably wouldn't love a good percentage of the folks we come in contact with every day. But if you can show God's love because Christ loved you first, he sacrificed for you first, he's your savior when you fall, he's your light in your deepest, darkest hour, he knows the door to your very soul. If we loved him, if we love him the way we say we love him, then we will love on our fellow man the way the word tells us to. Because it's not about us, and it's not about how they treat us. It's because we are commanded to love. We're commanded to love, you all. It's not an option. It's a commandment. If we can look at our lives through the mirror of grace, through the mirror of love, and understand, you all, that we didn't have to be here. We don't have to be in a place that we are. You all, we're living in a world where many are out for themselves. Many are looking out to see what they can get out of it. Many are looking to see how they can get a leg up on it. Many are looking to see how they'll be able to be promoted through it. Many are looking to see how they'll be able to progress and get a leg up on it. There are very few that are just doing it just because. I pray that the people of God become just because people. Just because God loves us, we should love others. Just because God said we should love, we love others. Just because the word says that love is patient and love is kind, then we choose for our love to be shown as being patient and kind. Just because, you all, just because the word says that love is not provoked. In other words, nobody has to buy your love. It's just freely given. Just because. I pray we become just because people with our love. Because when we become just because people with our love for God grows deeper. And our love for his people will grow deeper as well. And guess what, you all? Don't look for the love that God has for you to grow deeper, because it already is deep. He doesn't have to match up to our love. We have to continuously match up to his love. How deep is your love? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for first loving us and sending your son. It's not so much that you love us because we love you because you first loved us. You've always loved us. It's not as if there was a race to see who could love who first. You have always loved us. Before we even got here, you loved us. Before the foundation of the world, you loved us. How do we know this? Because the word tells us in 1 John 4 that you are love. So there's never been a time you didn't love us. You are love. And so because of that, you love us. Now, God, we pray that our love will not only grow wide, but our love will grow deep. Our love will grow deep in you, so deep that it overflows to your people. God, we pray for those divine appointments where we can show your love, where we can show your kindness, where we can show your consideration, where we can show your attention, your focus on your people. not so that they can focus on us, but so that they ask us the reason for our hope and we can focus him in on the one who loves us. God, as always, allow us to be your change agents today. God, allow us to be the change that we desire to see. Strengthen us, God, for those divine appointments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you. Go out and be the change agents you desire to see. One person, one household, one divine appointment at a time. God bless you.